All right, thank you. Well, please wait here.
There we go.
As you said, I am Paul DeLon from Texas AgriLife Research in Vernon, Texas, part of the Texas A&M system. Talking about the effect of soil aeration on runoff quality in no-till systems. And co-authors John Sy, who's agronomist there at the Vernon Center, is retiring in January, so we will be replacing him. That's advertised downstairs. If you know of any fledgling agronomists that are looking for a job, I'll plug that right now. But talking about dual-use wheat systems, some people call it a gain and grain system. The idea here is in the southern Great Plains, especially in Texas, is to not only harvest the wheat, but during the winter, use that as a supplemental forage for cattle. And this region of Texas, it's north central, northwest Texas, up into the panhandle. There's over 3 million acres of wheat in this region. Over 50% of it's grazed, as much as 75%, depending on the year, how much rainfall received. And in the southern Great Plains, it's been estimated that 95% of the dual-use wheat systems are under conventional till systems. And you hear a lot of times from producers, one of their reservations for going to no-till may be due to compaction. If it's a dual-use system, we're going to be grazing this with cattle, no-till system, we're going to increase compaction, then that leads to a fear if you're increasing compaction could reduce wheat yields, grain yields. And from, if you think further down the line, if you're compacting the soil, you could possibly increase runoff and impair water quality or nearby water bodies. So objectives we wanted to look at from a water quality quantity perspective was determine the effect of tillage on water quality and quantity in two different systems. A graze and grain system where you plant wheat, put cattle on your wheat about December, then pull them off in February, then harvest the grain in May, June, and then a graze out system where you place your cattle on the wheat, allow them to graze the wheat throughout the rest of the growing season. There's no harvest on that. Our tillage, it's just not a conventional tillage versus a no-till system. We're looking at the airway aerator as a tillage device or option in these systems. To look at this, we will use rainfall simulators to provide storm events to create runoff events prior to the placement of cattle, and then go back in after we remove the cattle and after harvest and rain again to look at the long-term effects of tillage on runoff properties. So we record the time to runoff for the quantity, and then we analyze the runoff water for water quality parameters. This is the airway aerator. And this has been shown to be successful in the right conditions, I should say, under the right circumstances on the right soil properties. And this has been shown to reduce runoff rates, increase infiltration on pastures, particularly in Georgia and Arkansas, but it's also shown to have adverse effects also. The idea in this region on the no-till systems is that this has been proposed as a treatment for on no-till systems to encourage infiltration in the semi-arid environment. It's very important to the farmers to capture as much water as they can to increase that moisture for the growing season. For the airway aerator there, you can see you can adjust the angle of those tines to go from 0 degrees to 10 degrees. At 10 degrees, you incorporate some of that residue. It's really like a light tillage operation. 0 degrees, there's really no soil disturbance other than where the tine is going into the ground. It's straight up and down. Basically, you're putting in a slit in the ground, so there's no disturbance other than that. So other treatments other than these five angles are the conventional till plots and then no-till plots. So we have replicated these four times. So there's 28 plots on a graze and grain system and then 28 plots on a graze out system. So I talk about grazing. Well, you think of cattle. Well, in this area, we have another issue. It's called white-tailed deer. And that give us a lot of, a lot of grazing pressure. This actually in a cotton field last week. Within a quarter mile of this area, there's probably 30 more deer, but this is the biggest group in a tight group that I could get a picture of. But a lot of grazing pressure from deer, which you'll find out affected our study. So we have a lot of white-tailed deer pressure on our wheat system, wheat fields, and if you look closer, and you look through this field and you see some soil disturbance out in that field, you take a closer look, oh, we have feral hogs in this area also. So between feral hogs, white-tailed deer, the wildlife issues, and then you don't get any rain for 3 months, this is what your wheat looks like 3 months after planting, which is nothing. So for 2008, we had we planted early October. We had a rain, had a planting rain planted. We did not receive any moisture until a freezing rain in February. So we had no rain for 3 months up to our rainfall simulation. So needless to say, what wheat was there, the deer took care of, so we were not able to graze. So I won't be presenting any post-grazing data today. And this is just a picture of our plots, 1.5 meter by 2 meter plots. Right through here is a separation of conventional tilled, no-till. You can see the difference in the residue cover there. This is close-up of our plots, again, 1.5 meter by 2 meter plots. And again, you can see the poor wheat stand. Again, replicated these four replications per treatment in a randomized complete block design. Use rainfall simulators at intensity. These are one nozzle simulators. We apply intensity about 7 centimeters per hour. We collect all the runoff water, pump the runoff water coming from the plot only into a collection barrel. And we collect runoff water for 30 minutes after runoff is achieved from each plot. We analyze the runoff samples, take subsamples, analyze that for total solids, nitrate, ammonium dissolved phosphorus, and total phosphorus. Just to give you an idea of residue cover from these different treatments, no-till versus the airway treatments, you can see as you adjust the angle on that airway system, you incorporate more of the residue. At the 10 degree angle, you still have about 66% residue on the surface, but you are incorporating some of that. So year one, some of the runoff data from year one. This is time to runoff in minutes. How long did it take to create runoff on these different systems? We have conventional tillage, and then we have our airway treatments ranging from 0 degree to 10 degree, and then our no-till plots. Our quickest time to runoff was achieved with the conventional plots, and not necessarily significant versus all other treatments, but the most rapid time to runoff was from conventionally tilled plots. This is runoff volume in liters from each plot. Again, the highest runoff volumes were from the conventional tilled plots. And the main thing to point out here is that we're not seeing a difference or impact of using the airway aerator on increasing infiltration or water capture. So we're not seeing a significant difference on the airway and the no-till, or differences among those. So if you look at total solids or erosion from these plots, higher runoff volumes, more movement of sediment. So conventionally tilled had the highest movement of sediment or loss of sediment. Again, no significant differences among no-till and the airway treatments. Some of the nutrient data from these plots, when you just look at concentration, it's highly variable coming from these small plots, a little bit higher conventional when you just look at concentration. However, when you consider runoff volume and you look at the total load, you look at the total phosphorus load coming off each plot, it's higher from the conventionally tilled plots as you would suspect with the high runoff volumes and higher sediment loads. So particulate phosphorus moving with the sediment. Again, not seeing a significant difference between the no-till and then all the airway treatments. Ammonium load, same story as with phosphorus. Conventional tillage resulted in the highest ammonia load. Again, no significant differences among no-till and the airway treatments, a recurring theme. We also did not see any significant differences among nitrate or dissolved phosphorus concentrations or loads among these treatments. So year two, we moved to a new location due to wildlife issues. We had not been able to do the grazing study for a couple years, and really only difference between the two sites, they're both the clay loam soil, just where we moved is a little bit deeper clay loam throughout the subsurface, throughout the soil profile. Again, planted the wheat in October this year, applied the airway treatments in September, then fertilized and planted. And this is a picture, actually Monday, this past Monday of our wheat, and you can see much better stand. We've been very wet this year for that area, receiving as much as 5 or 6 inches of rain over the last 2 months. So last year, very dry, the soil was very powdery or cracking, then underneath that be very powdery. This is very wet soil, You can see the mud on the tires, and just that's how wet it was in the field this year. So we were able to do the rainfall simulations last week, and on the one of the grazing systems, and then they finished up yesterday actually on the other sets. I don't have all the concentration or nutrient data today, but I do have some of the quantity and hydrology data that I'll show you a couple slides here today. This is time to run off. Again, we have conventional and then the airway treatments. We dropped out two of the airway treatments, the 2.5 and 7.5 degree for this year, and then our no-till plots. And you know, it makes pretty good sense other than this 5 degree treatment in here, but again, conventional tillage resulted in among the quickest time to run off compared to no-till and a couple of the airway treatments. You know, some studies have shown on wheat systems that no-till actually increases runoff concentrations or runoff volumes and time to runoff. But we're seeing conventional, not seeing as much infiltration and seeing a good infiltration with no-till versus conventional. Although there's no significance this year. Runoff volumes, no significance among all the treatments, but again, conventionally tilled plots result in numerically higher runoff volumes. Again, we're not seeing any impact of this using the airway aerator over the no-till and runoff volume that's being produced. So conclusions, runoff was initiated most rapidly from conventionally tilled plots in year one and among the most rapid in year two. Conventionally tilled plots resulted in higher runoff volumes in both years. For year one, total P loads and ammonium loads were higher from the conventionally tilled plots than the no-till or the airway plots. But one of the main aspects or objectives is really evaluating the impact of this airway system. Is it worth a producer's time to go out, make another pass over their field to try to capture more water? Well, what we have seen so far is no significant differences among the no-till and the aeration treatments prior to the placement of cattle. Now, in pastures, we've seen it work great initially before placement of cattle and then degrade quickly with the placement of cattle as they close up those slits that you're creating. So I'm not expecting things to improve once we do a post-harvest rain this next summer. So based upon the initial data, you know, the airway systems, it's not an economically viable option when considering soil and water conservation alone. Unless we see a big bump in yield due to aeration, and that's another story. But right now, we're not seeing more water capture with the airway system. And that I conclude and take any questions.
Questions? Well, then I have a question.
Okay.
You showed conventional no-till with the different angles of the runoff, time to runoff, and there is a conventional, there is no difference when you have the 0 degree, but there's a big difference when you have 5 degree, and then there's no difference again with the 10 degrees. How you explain that?
High variability of using small plots. That's a setback of using small plots. Previous year, the first year data, we grouped all 8 reps together, and this is 4 reps, so we have fewer reps this year. So small plot data like this rainfall simulator is not the best thing to use for hydrology data. So just naturally high variability, and you see that across all studies.
Thank you. Any more questions? Well, let's give him a big applause. Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Dr. Hiragi Lawigir from European Commission.